Hey, everybody. It's good to see you all.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome, everyone, to Gentle Healing Year One, Week Three. Yay! Does it look like I'm clapping for myself? I'm clapping for the program. It's good to be here with y'all. Looks like we are missing a few participants tonight, which is just fine. Hopefully they'll come in later. If they don't, hopefully they'll join us next week. If they don't, then that's just fine too. I want to start by, given this is only our third week, I want to go over the ground rules again quickly. So the ground rules are honesty. This is important not only in this class, but in our journey, honest with each other, honest with ourselves. The second one is it's always about me. There's no blaming. If we're having an issue, we need to be looking inward. That's the whole point here. Look inward. No advice giving. If you didn't do the homework, don't participate in the discussion. Keep a homework journal and follow your own guidance for additional homework. About the homework journal, I hope that you all are keeping a homework journal. It's amazing what changes when you write it down on paper. You can think all these thoughts, but you're not even sure what you're thinking if you don't get it on paper. Another thing in that regard is that we will learn as we go through this to ask questions of our own inner wisdom as we go through this process. And so you might as well get started with that now. So if you don't understand what something means, ask. I mean, that's the promise, isn't it? That's the promise in Course in Miracles. That's a promise in NTI. That's a promise in the Bible. Ask and it will be given. So ask. Feel free to ask your inner wisdom to answer the questions that you have. You know, I don't understand how this is helpful to my healing. Please explain it to me. And then just write what comes. At first, you may think that what comes doesn't sound like inner wisdom. Sounds a whole lot like Lori or Marge or Aggie or Rayla. But that's all right. You get better at it. You get clearer, I think, as you go along. Marge accidentally hit screen sharing. Uh-oh. Okay. So, hi, Patty. There's my sister, Patty. Okay. So, welcome, Christina. And, hey, Liz Susie. Nice to see you. Yeah. So, we were just talking about journaling and how important that is to this process. Because journaling helps you concretize, you know, what you're learning, helps you get clear on it. And so it'll bring more clarity. In addition, you can use journaling to ask questions of your own inner wisdom. And I made a post in the forum this week. You may have seen it that said some. Hey, Connie, what's up? I can't hear you. Nope. You remember that little thing we looked at a while ago, Connie, to how to put your, okay, now we hear you.
Yes. A question.
Okay, go ahead, Lori.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Is there a suggested way to ask a question? I mean, I've heard it like how, starting with how, is there a suggested way at this point? What do you think?
No, I think you talk to inner wisdom like you'd talk to me or your sister or your best friend or, you know, I think just whatever comes, you know, so it's going to vary. It's really going to be, you know, why do I feel this way or how, you know, can I do whatever you're trying to do? Or, you know, sometimes, some tough times, I even scream at inner wisdom. Why do you tell me that? No, I don't get a lot of response when I scream. but I don't think the form of the question is important, really. Just ask what you want to know. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. While I was saying about the forum, I know Aggie's been posting regularly on the forum, and that's not a surprise because Aggie's our forum administrator, so she's there a lot. And Aggie, I really appreciate the posts that you've been making. Yeah, they've been really good. I love your little pictures. The pictures are great. But I would like to see all of you guys do that, to post on the forum. So, you know, type it up. Well, you can go right to the forum and type it up, or you can type it up in your Word program and then cut and paste it into the forum. But start sharing those journals. I think as you do that, you will just get more clarity. Aggie, don't you feel like that's how it's gone for you? Yeah. Good. Okay.
Actually, can I just say, I find that even like today, I ended up going back in later in the day because something else came up. So it, you know, really kind of helps to...
Aggie, your volume's really low.
Is it? It's as high as it can go.
Oh, maybe you're just far away from it because as you're leaning over, it got a lot better. Yeah.
I found that that by doing it on the forum, I find that it kind of stays with me all day. And like as I think something occurs to me later on in the day, I go back in and I add a little something. So it's really, I think it's really helpful just to stay with me instead of just being something I do for a short amount of time in the morning.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, and Aggie makes an excellent point. You know, there's a lot smarter people out there than me. There's people who've been at this longer than me. There's people out there who have, me and Connie, there's people who have more insights than we do. So, I mean, if, no, Connie says no. So the point is, this is not intended to be a lecture class. We will be leading you and helping you to go in the right direction, but you really are the leader in your own awakening, and the only way that you can step into that role is for you to pick up your pen and write about your experience, you to practice the tips, and hopefully you're finding the tips give you some valuable practice ideas how you can apply what we're learning. So yeah, you're the driver here. So
And may I say something here? And it certainly occurs to me that, Jacqueline and I are studying this material all week long so we can present it, doing the lessons, writing tips for every other lesson. But, you know, any one of you all could be teaching this and teaching it to us. So, you know, we're nothing special here. We just study the material so we can present it. So,
yeah, and it's amazing what clarity comes when you immerse yourself in the material. Okay, all right. Any questions about anything we've said so far? All right. So let's. This is your opportunity to share. That's what's next up for us tonight. So who would like to share from their journal, or if you didn't journal, who would like to share your insights that did occur to you during the week? Any questions that you have during the week? This week we went over workbook lessons 8 through 14 from A Course in Miracles and NTI Romans chapters 1 through 7.
Yeah, I'll share, Jackie. This is Kelly.
Okay, Kelly, go ahead.
So I think on day 8, I actually did post on the forum. I did enjoy that, but I don't have a computer, so I have to handwrite everything, and then I had to double type it in, so I only did that one day. I might find another way. So then on day 11, I did in my journal, insights from the tip. We looked upon experience and decided to use it as evidence that we had actually changed something. That was the tip, something being my nature from the pure awareness of God to a separate human being. Of course, I do not see or am not aware of the judgment without basis that occurred originally. I must have trust in the teaching and learn to observe how I use experience as evidence in my daily grist for the mill. And then I love the line, we must each unwind our own belief in the world. And then day 12, I am upset because I see a meaningless world. Meaning that is derived and applied from the perspective of this entity named Kelly is meaningless, not because it's wrong, not because it's bad, evil, or sinful, but because it is simply fantasy and not associated with the truth. I feel that to be quite a blow, and I feel so overwhelmed by the task ahead to let it go. I often doubt my ability. I'm grateful for the tip today. It spoke beautifully to what my part is in healing and what the Holy Spirit's is. And then Romans chapter 5, I'm not guilty for the things I believe in error or my baseless judgments. There is no condemnation by any entity save the ego who is so heavily invested in the judgments. I offer my willingness to be healed by and remember my aspiration, to remember the love that I am in truth, and to be that truth in each and every moment. That's all I got this week. Thanks, y'all. Nice to see you.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly. I really, really appreciate your sharing that. And I thought you made some important points. Is you said, you know, you weren't able to see the original judgment without basis, but then you went on to make the point that really, this is not a one-time event. This is what we do every day. This is how we form the world that we see every day. This is how we have the experiences that we see every day by deciding what meaning something has, and then acting on the basis of the meaning that we've assigned. So while Romans tells the story of how we originally did it, if you will, the fall from grace or the tiny man idea, it's important to see that that's what we're doing every day by assigning meaning to the world and to our thoughts. So I really appreciate you bringing that point out. The other thing that you mentioned that is really important is the spiritual aspiration. How important it is to know your spiritual aspiration, and how that is the truth that we look to when we turn from our meaningless thoughts. So I appreciate you bringing up that point as well. I see Lori has her hand up. Lori, go ahead. Lulu.
Yeah, I moved to Florida out of New Jersey. I was Lori for many years. Now I'm Lulu, but I forget sometimes. So Lulu, yes. Hi, everybody. I'm really grateful to be with you. Well, what I was really, really just something... I felt like a shift on lesson 12, and that's the lesson that talks about if terms which seem positive rather than negative occur to you, include them. For example, you might think of a good world or a satisfying world. You know, a couple of times I've practiced this lesson, and I just was like, what do you mean good? But I get it now. I just feel like it's like, all right, even good is not the truth. And I felt like the mind went, you know, like a kaleidoscope. It kind of went, and I'm really grateful for that because it showed me that, you know, we stick with this and we keep going even when, you know, there's the raucous shrieks of the ego and whatever to stick with it. So I'm really grateful for that. And then I wrote down here NTI Romans chapter 1. All are invited into the awareness of God, and none are to be left out. I am the Holy Spirit, and I have come to you on this day to teach you and to take you further along the path with me. Until now, you are not ready for the full devotion that I will ask. And I just wrote a comment that I just felt joy, relief, finally, like a relief, like a... like I felt that kind of promise and the finally, and yes, it is. I can keep my heart completely open to this. And yeah, just like a couple times I posted, you know, I
saw that.
Like, I just really wanted to die. I was just like, why am I here? I just was like, can somebody just come and blow me up and implode? And last night, same thing. Like I just wanted to die last night. I was just like, you know, I, you know, the ego, whatever. And I just stayed close. I stayed close with my ADs and I'm feeling like so much better today. You know, like I had a great day and so there's still stuff coming up for me, but I felt like, I just could kind of be with it. Like, and you know, you sent me Jacqueline, Regina's notes on, relax, allow, rest, allow, trust. And what was really great reminder for me in that, and that whatever's coming up, it's like, wow, stuff, this is coming up. This is good. This is not bad. But I guess what screws with me, what ego does to me, it's like, you can't take this time out to just be with this. Like, you got a zillion things to do. Like, you got to put air in your bike tires, you know, or you're like, or you got to go blah, blah, blah. So.
Put air in faster.
So I guess, I don't know. I feel like it's, you know, the ups and the downs of this, it's just part of it. And I asked Connie last night, cause I reached out, I was in a lot of pain last night and I really seriously, I wasn't sure I was going to make it, but you know, maybe I'm just being dramatic, but that's how it felt. And, like, I feel like it's losing its, just in the relaxing, just being willing to like, and be grateful for it. And that's willingness and letting the story kind of like have the screen at the movie theater and like, let it have its energy, let it have its feelings, let it have its animation. I could be wrong on that. Cause sometimes I wonder, am I not giving this enough time or am I letting the ego freeze my life? I get confused about that, kind of how much time to give it. And yeah. I guess I'm going to close with that. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Lulu. Couple of things. Let's start with the last one first. And that is, you know, how much, you're not sure how much to let the ego run with it. And a really important part of the rest, accept, trust process is to, the first part is to rest the story. And it may be helpful to rest the story by writing it all down until you feel complete. You know, she said this and that's because she's that, and you know, all the ugly, whatever, you know, whatever the story is, write it all down on paper and ask, okay, is that it? That's it. Then you rest the story. That's it. You don't need to go back to that story. That whole story is out there on paper. You don't need to go back to it. And then you just sit with the way you feel. And you trust that that's healing. Okay, so you don't need to keep going back and running the same stories. And it can really be helpful to do that by writing that down. Just write and write and write until you've said everything you have to say about that situation. And then that's it. That's enough. Yeah. The other thing that I want to say is, just as you identified, sometimes this feels worse than it feels better. If stuff wasn't coming up, then you're probably just skimming the surface, because we all have stuff there that's going to come up. So you're right to go, yay, I feel terrible. but really, it's always dark is before the dawn and all of that. This stuff has got to be seen, because what we've done for years and years and years is repress this stuff so that we'll feel better. But we don't really feel better. We're really just kind of hanging on by our fingernails. So it's good that stuff's coming up. And it's good that you're practicing rest, accept, and trust with it. Yeah, good. Good. And then Aggie.
So I guess the thing that was most interesting for me this week was I think it was lesson 11. And I don't, for those of you that might have looked on the forum, I did a little caricature. And on one half was like the world with houses and trees and everything. And, you know, the poor girl was standing there going, oh, my goodness. And then on the other side was the what is, the vastness. And, of course, the face was all smiley. And then I thought, well, I'm going to flip it. And I flipped it so that the smiley face was looking at the world as we see it. And the face that was worried and all angst was the side that was looking at the vastness. And at that moment, it just felt so true that I was more afraid of the vastness than I was of this world. And, you know, even though, so it was like I had meaningless thoughts about this supposed world that we're trying to get to. And then today, I think, was a little bit of that too. There's just, or was it yesterday? I was finding that I had real resistance as I looked around. I have this meditation space downtown that I use, and I love it there. And the lesson was that, you know, I look upon a meaningless world, and it was like, or these things, it was, I couldn't do it because they all had meaning to them, and I'd given them all that meaning, and it was important to me. So today, I'm like in this, if you saw the picture, it's this poor little person whose head is down on her knees. She's kind of hugging her legs, and it's like, God did not create a meaningless world. And it's like, I'm laughing, but something's coming up for me too. It's just like some uncomfortableness. I kind of flashed back to the Lazarus and the rich man story, you know, remembering that all the meaning I give to it, that events are neutral. But even that, it's like, okay, when I first read that story, you know, at the beginning of the week, it was very soothing to me and it really made me feel good. But now I go, I don't know. So I'm in this place of, I don't know, you know, it's like okay, so none of this has any meaning, but I really don't know what God's meaning is currently. So I'm like in this kind of limbo place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing on top of that is I've done these lessons. This is my third and a half time going through these lessons. And I shocked myself by saying, you know, I would have thought I had these beginning ones down. And it's like brand new for me all over again. So it was a really good week in a lot of ways. But at this particular moment, I feel like I'm walking on Jell-O.
Walking on Jell-O. That's a great image.
Walking on
Jell-O. A little wobbly, are we?
What, Connie?
A little wobbly.
A little wobbly. But good, all very good. And I'm retired now, so fortunately I have, you know, I really have the time to just kind of sit with this. So I feel really fortunate for that too. And of course the weather helps. It's freezing cold here. There's nothing to do and nowhere to go. So it's all good.
Perfect. Thank you for sharing, Aggie.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I loved your comments about feels like the first time you've gone through it. That's perfect. Isn't that perfect? That's great. Yeah. Otherwise, why would we do it again? So that's wonderful. I have in my margins of the tips we're going to go over in a minute a reference to your experience in the upper room there. So we'll look at that more. In a little bit about assigning meaning and yeah, so thank you for sharing that. Who else would like to share? We have a few minutes for sharing left. Yes, Judy, please go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Jacqueline, Connie, and everybody. I don't think I can see everybody's pictures on the screen, but I'm only seeing 5 pictures, and I think there's more than that in the room. So hello, everybody that I can see and can't see. This has been a great week. I have loved getting back into the course and NTI and the tips. A while ago, I went upstairs and tried to print out the journal entry that I was going to share, and the printer wouldn't work, so I took a picture. And I'm going to see if this will work. I'm reading from my phone, and if I get a text message or something, I may lose this. So anyway, here it goes with my journal entry. I think it was yesterday. It was the lesson, A Meaningless World Engenders Fear. Today I practiced looking at a meaningless world. I contemplated the idea that we have made up this meaningless world because a meaningless world, as the lesson says, engenders fear. If the world is meaningless, this means I am meaningless. Oh no, because I'm meaningless because I'm part of the world. The world isn't real, neither am I. The imagined I is not real. But I do not really know this. I mean, I can say it in words, but of course, as of now, I don't quite believe it. And I think it is this fear of accepting that that keeps me from seeing the truth. So I must be willing to allow the idea that I do not exist. The world does not exist. If I do not see that the world isn't real, I will not be able to see the truth. I suppose it is no coincidence that some of Regina's recent Guiding Light episodes have been dealing with this very subject. It just amazes me where you go with this writing. Take off and have no idea what you're going to end up saying. So according to Regina, the only way we ever know that the world isn't real, and neither are we, is to meditate and have the direct experience of no world, no me. And even then, and this is me talking now, with the regular meditation practice, the realization of no world, no me, may take a lot of determination, vigilance, and desire. Willingness to meditate is step one. And for me personally, I think fear slips right into my meditation practice. It's not really conscious fear, but it must be fear that allows the mind to go wandering off, sometimes feel boredom, sometimes asking myself, is this a waste of time? At least I no longer fall asleep when I'm meditating, and I'm not completely lost in thought for very long. But then again, I'm never far from the thoughts either. I mean, even in what I guess could be called a semi-aware state, I can hear the thoughts bouncing around behind the awareness, just waiting to crash in. I can stay in a degree of awareness, but I think it is fear that keeps me from leaving the world of thought very far behind. It's always there. I can feel its presence, even when I do not allow the thoughts to take over completely. The thought that the world and I are meaningless is the most terrifying thought imaginable. That fear has certainly been engendered in me. I have experienced a causeless terror on two occasions, and both times recoiled in absolute fear. And those were Jan Fraser's words. I think in her book she uses that word, recoiled in fear, and that is exactly what it felt like. So in today's lesson said, a meaningless world engenders fear, I have no trouble understanding what it means. Because that terror is not usually conscious, I don't think I would understand the engenders fear like I do if I had not had those experiences. Yeah. We each have to make a choice to walk through that final doorway, as David Hawkins calls it, or stick with the crowd and see a meaningless world as meaningful. As I write this, I realize I have to come to terms with fear. I am not sure how this is going to be done, but I suspect it will be done during meditation. That is where the rubber meets the road. I found a conversation that John Mark Stroud was having with someone helpful today. A lady was asking about a long-held grievance that she had. She'd been trying to forgive, and I got the impression this had been going on for maybe even years. And John Mark's response to her was, you know, if you let it go, you just might disappear with it. That really struck me.
That's right.
To remove fear, I have to let go of the story of Judy. Every time I go into a story about me, I am reinforcing fear. I'm making Judy real. The funny thing I have started seeing lately is when I tell a story about some little grievance, whoever I'm talking to wants immediately to start blaming the other person who caused my quote unquote upset. And of course, that really isn't, I don't think that's my point in telling the story. I'm just telling my story. And when I try to clarify that I'm not a victim and out to blame someone, I find people just cannot grasp that. The world really believes that someone has to be at fault. We have to blame someone. So I can see how it is pretty much ridiculous to tell my stories. Telling them isn't helpful. I mean, it really isn't helpful. And yeah. Actually, it's almost certainly a block to the awareness of love.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love to write. I write and write and write. And keeping this journal has just been wonderful.
Yay.
So I wrote a lot more, but I'm going to stop here.
Thank you for sharing what you shared, Judy. It was really good stuff. I think you're right about sharing the stories. In fact, we talked about sharing opinions. It's kind of the same thing. It keeps that story going if we share it, even if we're beginning to loosen our belief in the story ourselves. The retelling of it reinvigorates it with our attention and then with that energy from others who want to chime in and go, yeah, you're right, she really was wrong. Not that you ever said that, but, you know, it just keeps that ball rolling. So I think you're right on about not wanting to tell those stories. I also want to emphasize that a couple of things. This belief that I am not real, certainly the I that we have thought of ourselves is just another collection of thoughts. But that doesn't mean that there's not realness here. And it's that realness here, the truth of who we are, that we're looking for in meditation. Of Course in Miracles talks about it in terms of truth. The truth will tell you of itself. So that's what we're looking to find in meditation. That's why we are turning our attention from our thoughts, as you said. And really what we're attempting to do, and we mentioned awareness watching and awareness meditation in our tips. We're going to look more deeply at awareness watching, awareness meditation later in the gentle healing curriculum. But what I would encourage you to do in your meditation that's right in line with awareness watching, awareness, is to ask, who sees these thoughts? Because obviously, if you can see the thought, it's not you, right? It's not being thought by you. So just try and take that step back and see who's aware of that. In addition, when you can see, oh, I was stuck in thought, now I'm going to go back to not being stuck in thought and meditating, notice someone's making that decision. It's not the same thing that had the thought going on, or it wouldn't see that it's looking at the thought. So step back behind that and just look at who's aware. Someone is aware, just like someone can hear maybe the heater running in the room. That same someone can see that attention has gone to thought. Someone, something, it's awareness. Mm-hmm. So step back into that awareness so that you kind of get the vista of all these different things that are going on. Okay?
Yeah, thanks, Jacqueline.
Sure. I think we are out of time. I know we are out of time for sharing. So, if you wanted to share and didn't get a chance, I apologize to you. Please begin to share your thoughts in the forum. I look at the forum several times a day. And if you have any questions for me, feel free to write them there along with your thoughts. And you'll get more of an opportunity to share, and we just have more time for it. In the written word. So what I like to do now is to take a drink and then move on to our review. And I thought the best way, we spent a lot of time with NTI in our tip. So I thought the best way to do this tonight would be to hit the high points on the tips. So we started with lesson 8, my mind is preoccupied with the past. And again, that's that whole idea that we've been talking about all this time. Connie noted in this tip, your eyes project your thoughts. You take a collection of your thoughts from past learning, learn from judgment, and create your own version of reality. It's, again, we think we know what things mean based on our past. So we base everything on what we think we know from the past. So it's just that fundamental idea that we apply meaning and then we believe the meaning that we've applied. The tip for lesson 9, I see nothing as it is now. Again, we're going back to that idea introduced in NTI Romans chapter 2, which is that we use judgment to create experience. We also call judgment decision. So we make a decision, and then based on that decision, that's the experience that we have. The examples here, and this was originally Regina's tip from her original year one, but she gave us a lot of examples, and they're good examples. She asked, if I decide I don't like someone's attitude, what experience do I have? Well, it's not going to be a good one, is it? Right? If I decide they're hard to get along with, then when I'm with them, I'm going to have a hard time getting along with them. Another one she gave us was, if I decide that I've been rude and thoughtless, what experience do I have? I'm going to feel guilty. I'm going to go, oh, that was rude and thoughtless. I'm guilty for being rude and thoughtless. Then I'm going to feel that guilt. So I've applied that meaning. I have had an experience. I apply a meaning to that experience. That was bad behavior for which I'm guilty. I believe I'm guilty. I experience those guilt feelings. And this is where I wrote a note about Aggie and the upper room, because Aggie has this dedicated space for meditation and contemplation and, her quiet space. She talked about the flags, the prayer flags on the wall that somebody made, something somebody else made. You know, it's just a real loving space. But that is the experience that Aggie has decided to have in that space. There's nothing wrong with any of these experiences, whether we decide we want to feel guilty or whether we decide we want to have a certain experience when we come into a certain space. The point is to realize, as Aggie alluded to, the point is to realize that it's all really neutral. Somebody else could walk in Aggie's space and go, ooh, I don't like those colors. It's a little cold in here. And, you know, I don't really like your taste in furniture or whatever it is, right? And they wouldn't have that same experience that Aggie has in that space. So it doesn't make it a bad thing. It just, all we're trying to do is to see we have the experience that we have decided to have. And we don't normally see this. So we're trying to dig under this to see the process, to see I've assigned a meaning, and based on the meaning that I have assigned, I'm having a certain experience. Had I not assigned that meaning, had I assigned a different meaning, I would be having a different experience. Right? Does that make sense? We're just trying to, again, we're just looking at this reprogramming of the brain. We can't reprogram the brain if we don't know how it works. So that's what we're trying to get at here. So, and let me just read this to you from the tip. We make an unevaluated judgment about something. Just seems to pop in the mind. Oh, I don't like that color. Right? Or whatever it is. I don't like her attitude. Whatever it is, we make an unevaluated judgment about something, and then that is the meaning it has for us. As it said in Romans, we then experience the effects of the unevaluated judgment we have made. Again, a very simple summary of how we go about creating our experience through one unevaluated judgment after another. And then it becomes a kind of shorthand. Luke says we take that unevaluated judgment and reapply it when a similar set of circumstances arises. So if Aggie walks in a similar room, a room that looks, you know, has the same kind of atmosphere, she's going to have that experience. If I meet somebody that reminds me of somebody I don't like, guess what kind of experience I'm going to have, right? So we compact that and use it, you know, like a shorthand key, a hotkey on the computer. Pop. That's the experience we've always had in these situations. That's the experience we're going to have now. A shortcut key. The other really important, another really important point from Romans is that we are the casters of attention. So the first thing that we do is we see a thought, and you know, we could see that thought and go, "That's crap. I'm not listening to that." But we don't. We see a thought, and because we think we thought the thought, it has value to us, and we go, "Ooh, look at that thought. Let me look at that a while." And so we spend time with that thought, right? So that's the first thing, is we think we have to believe the thoughts that pop in our mind. We think that's where we should cast our attention.
You ain't me.
Yeah.
Jacqueline, so Christina has a question.
Oh, okay. Christina, please.
Okay, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I just wanted to comment that, like, for me, another way that I deal with that is to sort of step back and just be curious about my thoughts. Mm-hmm. So I'll see them passing by, or I'll find myself thinking something, and it's like, look at that. Where did that come from? And it's almost like being the observer of your thought without putting a judgment on it.
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, that's really what we're being asked to do, Christina. So I appreciate you bringing that up. It's just that curiosity. It's like, wow, look at that.
Yeah, because like, where did that even come from?
Right.
You know, I find myself thinking all kinds of crazy things. Like, it might be something like, I'll do something that, you know, I'll say, "Oh, you stupid jerk." And then it's like, wait a minute, what did I just say? Look at that, you know, or what did I think? Or it could be anything. It could be a judgment about someone else, or about a situation. And, you know, and I think this work is helping me to become more aware of that. As I go through my day, I'm just aware of these thoughts popping up, and I just watch them. It's like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's ideal, really, because our tendency is to see, oh, I just thought that guy was a stupid jerk. That's not very spiritual. I'm a bad spiritual student, or I'm guilty, or I'm not really a nice person, or I'm never going to get this, or whatever. So we want to layer our judgment upon that. So what you're doing is perfect. Just be curious. Wow, look at that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not saying I'm totally there. I mean, I do the other thing too, but you know, it's a journey and a process. It's like just peeling off the layers, I think.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, thank you for your comments. Yeah. All right. So let's look at lesson 10. Oh, and I just want to make the point again here. Again, NTI Romans told us how we got into this mess in the first place. You know, forgot to laugh, right? We wanted to create something different than it was. And we had the option of going, oh, that's what different than it was would look like. And all right. And going on to whatever we do in isness, the original, tiny man idea, the other option was to go, oh my God, we have really screwed up now. Look how we really changed things. Right. And then go deeper into that idea and judge. We're bad consciousness. We're bad. Because we created something other than it is. Well, that's impossible. How can you create something other than everything that is? But that was the original problem, right? We believed that we had done something, and then we judged that as bad. And then we just went deeper and deeper and deeper into that fantasy. So that's the original Tiny Man idea. But as we said with, I think it was Kelly a while ago, that's what we do, as Christina was just talking about, that's what we do every day. That's what we do with everything in our purview. Everything we see, we have a judgment about. And then we're off to the races. We just build on that and build on that and build on that.
Unevaluated
judgments. We just like go, oh, I don't like red. Okay, who doesn't like red? Why don't I like red? Is there something about the color red that, you know, brings back bad memory? Whatever. I mean, it's totally unevaluated. Oh, I don't like people who smoke. I don't like, you know, whatever. Or, oh, I like people like that. I mean, they're just stuff. It's just stuff. And we take it as truth. And it's not truth. It's just meaning that we've applied and reapplied and reapplied and built on and built on. I'm trying somehow, to be conscious of time. Yeah.
Somehow we think that because it's our experience, it has to be true. But what we've learned in this, and I think this will be repeated a couple of times this evening, but what we've learned, experience is not truth. Experience is illusion.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think we are going to look at that a little bit more. But that's the thing, we're not saying that we're not having an experience. Okay, we're all having an experience, good, bad, middling, but we're all having an experience. It's the it's the belief that tells us anything about who we are that is the problem.
Because the ego always wants to say, well, you know, that proves that you're a good mother. Nope, that proves that you're a bad mother. So we find identity in that. And I think as Judy was pointing out earlier, it's just not so.
Yeah.
The experience doesn't define our identity. Our identity's with God, by the grace of God.
Yeah, who we are has never changed since the beginning of time. Who we are has never changed.
And that was option one.
You're right.
You can't change what has never changed.
Yeah. Let's see what we have here in lesson 10. My thoughts do not mean anything. Let's see. It said existence is love. Love is existence. We look out at our experience and we go, that's not my experience. I'm not seeing a lot of love out here. And the problem, again, we are casters of attention. So we are casting our attention on what appears not to be love and going, that's the truth. So we're looking out here for evidence. That's the truth. War, hate, sorrow, suffering. That's the truth. Because we're seeing it. It must be true. I'm seeing it. That's the error. What these thoughts are designed to show us, again, that oddly assorted procession of thoughts going by, what these lessons are designed to show us is this is a show that we're watching. It may be full of tragedy and sorrow and suffering, but again, it's a show that we are watching. It's not who we are. It's not the truth of all that is. All right, let's look at this lesson 11. I was really tickled to see this definition of judgment from Wikipedia of all places, but it was just the one that was right on. Judgment is defined as the evaluation of evidence to make a decision. So the evidence that we're evaluating, like we just said, is what we see out in the world. We'll go, well, there's evidence that, you know, life sucks, and there's evidence that he's an asshole. Excuse me, I'm sorry. For cussing, I'm not supposed to cuss. But we look at all that stuff and go, you know, here's the evidence that everything's not love. And what's important to remember is that this evidence is what was created to show us something other than the truth. We forget that. We look out and we go, yep, there it is. There's the evidence. No, no, no. This is other than truth. So actually, if this is evidence for anything, it's evidence for the truth, because it's showing you the opposite of truth. That's what we asked to see.
Option two.
We're looking at option two. What if everything was not as it was? Well, there you got it. So if you're tempted to go, no, but he really was mean to me. No, this really does deserve a curt response. It does. He does deserve to be yelled at, right? Because of the evidence. Because I'm looking at the evidence. You know, if you're tempted to buy the evidence, remember what it is you're looking at. You're looking at the evidence of what things would be like if the truth were not true.
Good point.
So you can throw that right out the window. Yes, Aggie, please.
But it also is evidence in a way of what we are thinking inside or feeling, in what our mind is telling us is true, right? Even though it's not true about who we truly are, it is clues to what we're thinking that is bringing this forward for us to see, right? So it does have, in a way, it kind of does have meaning, or the Holy Spirit takes that thing that is really not meaningful and uses it in a way to help wake us up.
Well, and the, your metaphysics are no question correct. No question correct.
Okay.
But that's not, we want to be sure to stay in the practice of this and in the heart of this. Because we know that's what the Course in Miracles tells us. We know that's what NTI tells us.
Yeah.
And we know that, you know, if we have a problem, it generally means we got something we need to look at.
Right.
So it can be used as evidence in that way, but I don't want to get too far afield in the metaphysics of it, because ego would love nothing more than for us to get up there and talk about it.
I hear you. Okay, thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. So again, the point is made here again that we are casters of attention. We focus our attention on what we believe has meaning, but it's only the meaning that we have applied. And then we go on to autopilot, and these things come in, and we go, yep, that has that meaning, that has that meaning, that has, but it's all unconscious. So again, we're trying to bring up what we do every day into the forefront so that we can see that we're doing it, just like Christina was saying. Look at that thought. I thought, oh, you jerk, when that guy did that. Huh, where'd that come from? So, and we're doing this again so we can do this reprogramming, so we can allow ourselves to be reprogrammed, not go on autopilot, see that that thought has no value, and rest the story, accept how we feel, and trust that by resting the story and accepting how we feel, that that is healing. That's our part in healing.
Yeah, it's conscious. Conscious living.
Conscious living. Yep. Absolutely. I think I'm supposed to be done now. So let me just look and see. I have lots and lots of notes. One of those is, this is in lesson 12. I'm upset because I see a meaningless world. We talked about Jesus as a symbol of our true desire. Our NTI talked about Jesus being a symbol of our true desire to see beyond the appearances, to see beyond this evidence to the truth of who we are. That's what Jesus did. That's why Jesus is a symbol of that for us. Again, this is where your spiritual aspiration comes in, right? What is your true desire? I assume your true desire, however you frame it, whatever words you use to say it, would be to have, similar insight similar clarity to what Jesus had, right? To know that it's not necessary that one defend oneself, to know that it's not necessary that one suffer. I mean, all of the lessons that Jesus came to teach, those are the lessons that we want to learn. So you can have your focus on Jesus. You can have your focus on your true desire. But it's important to understand we're trying to see through what we take for granted as the world and who we are and see through that to the truth. And Jesus and true desire is a symbol of doing that. Again, from that lesson, I'm upset because I see a meaningless world. We're undoing the layered judgment we've laid upon ourselves in the world, allowing that to unwind. I think I got some pages turned backwards because that doesn't look like that's where that goes. I must have turned that backwards. Yeah, I did. This is where we talked about rest, accept, and trust. Again, review that. Use it. You might want to use the method that we talked about writing the story down to get it all out. And then don't go back to it. If the mind or the thinking mind or ego comes back and goes, you know, that really wasn't, you can say, hey, we wrote that down. We're done with the story. It's already all been written down. I know, you told me that a while ago. It's right, it's written there. So that you don't have to go back in and get embroiled in that story again. Regina, this is Regina's description of rest, accept, and trust. And she came up with, you know, some other self-talk types of things that you may want to do. And then, you know, this the second part of this, accept the feeling. You know, what we normally try to do is do everything we can to avoid feeling what we're feeling, to avoid feeling guilty, to avoid feeling sad, to avoid whatever those awful feelings are. Hey, Ron, we generally avoid those at all costs, but that's not what we're being asked to do. We're being asked to experience the experience we're having, because if we're trying to avoid, we're going to be denying it. We're going to be repressing it. That's not the direction we're headed in. We have to have the experience we're having. So you rest the story and just sit with that experience. Just let it be. And what you find out is it won't kill you. It may feel like it's going to kill you, but you'll find that you're able to endure the emotions that seem to have been generated by an experience without dying. And that's the point. They're just emotions. They're just like the thoughts themselves. Let's just sit here with them. I know Lulu's going, yeah, easy for you to say. But yeah, you just sit with it. You sit with it. Just sit with it. And if ego wants to tell you about why you're feeling or how you're feeling or why you're justified in feeling it, you say, we did that story. Now we're just sitting with the feeling. And it will pass. Gosh, Connie, I think I'm eating into your time, honey. Let me, okay, there's another thing that I want to look at in day 13. This a meaningless world engenders fear. And the reason a meaningless world engenders fear is because ego or the thinking mind believes that if it doesn't place some meaning on the world, it will cease to exist. You will cease to exist. That's the story that's being told. That's why it's so tempting to assign meaning. As I was thinking about this, I remembered an old episode of Night Gallery. And I actually looked it up and watched it today. It was fun. In this episode of Night Gallery, it's called The Diary. And Patty Duke gets this diary, and she finds that the page is written before the day comes, and then the next, you know, and then that day comes, and everything that was written there in her handwriting actually happened. And this happens 2 or 3 days in a row, and then on the next day there's nothing written there. And so she freaks out because she thinks that means she will no longer exist, right? It's like, you know, you're in a straitjacket. I mean, it's a really cute episode if you get a chance to watch it. Again, Night Gallery, The Diary. But that's what ego's doing. It's like, hey, if I don't write this, if I don't say what this stuff means, I am going to cease to exist. That's that terror that that Judy talked about. If I don't write something here, if I leave this space open for God, which is what we're being asked to do, if I don't write my own meaning, then I cease to exist. That is indeed the fear. Yeah, and, go ahead.
One of those lessons said that how incredibly happy you would be if you quit writing the experience.
Yeah, and that's it, Connie. I mean, and that's what we were talking about a while ago with this awareness watching awareness. We want to drop all of our meaning, assigned meaning, and see what's really here, what the truth is. That's the incredible happiness. That's the samadhi that they talk about in the East. The truth will tell you of itself. But it can't tell you if it's got a shout over the meanings you've assigned.
Yeah, we really do create our own fog, so we can only see it this way. You know, and I think I may have even said that in one of the tips. It's, you know, that's what Byron Katie says, you know, you want to be your story. Because you can be your story, but you're not with reality.
Because you can you say the last line you said?
You can be your story. You can believe your story, but that's not reality.
Right. Yeah, and again, we're not denying the experience. We're just denying your interpretation of that experience.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So then, let me get my backwards pages together here. Yeah, God did not create a meaningless world. And really, the import of this is really wanting to allow our brains to be reprogrammed, to remove the meaning that we have written so that the truth can tell us of itself. That's why rest, accept, and trust is so critical. It's really essential for us to see our active participation in creating our experience. Couple of things so that we can allow ourselves to be reprogrammed, so we can learn. We can learn not to continue to assign meaning. Also, what came up for me here was this definition of insanity being, you know, you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. That's what we've all been doing for. How old am I, Connie? 57. That's what I've been doing for 57 years. You know, that's been what you've been doing for all of these years. You keep assigning meaning and wondering why you're still getting these stinking results where you experience pain and suffering and sorrow, and that's what we're undoing. So we have to look at how we're actively participating in the creation of our own pain and suffering. And again, as we said with a while ago, it's important to see these lessons as a real opportunity to let that be undone, as a real opportunity to have an experience of the truth of our being, not just something we read in the morning and, you know, once occasionally throughout the day. This is not an intellectual endeavor. So apply these things every opportunity you get. It's not about feeling better because, again, as we said a while ago, that's what ego tells you. Oh, I'll help you feel better. We'll just stick this over here. Well, you'll never see it. Now, it'll still be operating, but we're going to just scoot it under the carpet over here so you don't have to feel that pain. That's not healing. What that does is that makes it readily available to be grabbed back up when a similar circumstance arises and feel the pain again. So this is what's being undone. Again, it's about seeing through the web of illusion we've created so we can use this creative ability, our casting of attention, to unwind our beliefs about what the world is and what we are. All right, Connie, I'm way, way into your time. I apologize for that.
Let's see, what do we got? We got 10 minutes or so before we have to do homework.
we need to leave, 5 minutes at the end for homework and any questions. So, and again, folks, we're trying to figure this out. It used to be a 2-hour program, and when it was originally taught, now we're down to 1.5 hours. So, Connie, hit the highlights or hit some of them, or, you know, we could hang up now and be okay. I mean, you know, it doesn't, don't worry about it.
Well, I'm glad you did such a good job teaching. Makes this easier. Yeah, I'm going to I was going to read some parts of The Way of Mastery and comment on them. And in chapter two is you create your own experience. Yeah, we know this is what we've learned this week with it. We create our own experience. You make a decision, and you think this is worth my thinking. You cast your attention on it. You go deeper into it. But we're very clear that experience is illusion, not true. So that first paragraph says, it is with great joy that I come forth to abide with you. It is a great truth that I come often unto many. But because of what you have learned in your world, you have often believed me to be a figment of your imagination. The voice that steals quietly through space between your own thoughts, you think to be but an illusion. Yet I say, I come often unto many. And I'm going to read at the bottom of page 12. It says, understand. Understand well, the way of the heart requires that you allow yourself to rest in the simplicity of this truth. The truth is, I am pure spirit, undefiled, and unaffected by anything or anyone. I am given full power to choose and therefore to create my experience as I would have it be.
Yeah, and again, that's where the rubber hits the road. You know, it's not like we're saying everything's lollipops and unicorns, you know? I mean, we're really taking back our creative power to remove the meaning that we've assigned.
So if I wake up with thoughts, like I didn't want to go to work that day, and I carry that with me into the day, I'm communicating that attitude to everyone I meet. Some of the people I meet that day are enlightened and they can overcome those illusions I'm trying to share. But the majority of the people we meet are not enlightened. And this is saying we aren't just doing this to ourselves. This is actually happening in the world. We are experiencing ourselves separate people and communicating our illusion.
Yeah, so we're not just pissing on ourselves and our own experience. We end up pissing on everybody else's experiences as well, right? We carry that out. The Course in Miracles talks about how the body is a communication device, right? And yeah. So that's the message we're sending. We're becoming somebody else's evidence that the world's a rotten place.
Yeah, like lesson 14 said, some of our illusions are shared. How do we share illusions? First, we believe our illusions enough that we carry it around, and then we share the illusions with others. So if I go to work all happy, but my coworker is unhappy on this day, pretty soon I'm upset too. Now I'm blaming my coworker for my bad day. But this is saying, no, if we choose thoughts, put us in a bad place, we can pull others down to that bad place too. But that's only if we're choosing unconsciously.
Because if we were choosing consciously, what would we do?
We wouldn't give value to that those thoughts. We wouldn't give value to our thoughts, to our coworkers' bad mood. In fact, we would just allow them what we've come to learn in these classes, and the
through Awakening Together is we don't need to change other people. We need to let people be who they are. So, in a bad mood, I don't join him in his mood. And if the thought shows up, this person shouldn't be this way, I decide that that's a valid thought. I decide to cast my attention on that. I've gone deeper into that pretty soon. I'm replaying that cycle over and over again.
Yeah, so I believe that that I'm subject to what I seem to be experiencing. Okay, that's the first thought. You can believe that or not, but that's the first problem. And then I have a judgment about that person, and I interact with that person based on that judgment. And if that person's having a bad day, it's not going to be a good judgment. So guess who else gets to have a bad day? Me.
Yes.
Right? And it's just, and it's creating more and more. It's pollution, emotional, mental pollution that you're putting out there when you join your coworker in their bad day.
We want to become conscious of our experiences. This becomes the alarm, and I think this was what Aggie was referring to. This becomes an alarm. It's my alarm is when I'm getting stuck into his illusion or my illusion. I think I need to see what thoughts I'm listening to.
What becomes the alarm, Connie?
When we realize that we've created this experience. The coworker's bad mood can be the alarm that an experience has been created that doesn't need to be true. You know, that's using everything for your unfoldment, right?
Right. Again, if you think, well, he's a jerk, that's an alarm that you're buying into it.
Yes. Yes. You know, and we've talked about this many times. So The Secret had that whole thing on all these things become a barometer. So if we're not in our peace and joy, and we have this thing comes up and go, you know, he's a dip, whatever, right? He's that's my alarm. That's not to change him. It's my alarm in that I've decided to cast my awareness, cast my attention on the seeming circumstances, and I don't need to.
Right, and let me say here that part of casting attention is not just like looking that way. It's casting believing attention.
Yes,
on something.
I believe he's a jerk. So I'm going into that whole mindset. Oh, and this proves he's a jerk, and that proves he's, you know, I'm all wound up in him being a jerk. But I could take that same scenario and say there's a different way of looking at this. Oh, if I'm having thoughts that are less than peace and joy, this is my opportunity to say I must be looking correctly with this. I must be confused about this.
Yeah, and you know, some of my friends are really, really good at going, oh, he must be having a bad day. You know, I mean, there's just a real simple example of what we can believe. We have the power to cast our attention on this guy is having a bad experience. That's what I can see here.
Yes.
Right?
I don't want to participate in that perceptual bad experience. And then all it is, it's the whole thing is perceptual. I could participate in his bad experience. I could say, oh, bless his heart, he's having a bad day. I mean, there's, but his bad day and my awareness of it, I don't have to drop down into that. I can see that for what it is and move on. Let me see. How much time have I got here, Jack?
You've got like 7 minutes.
Well, let me say, if we go back to Romans chapter 2, then once again, we decide, what if I could make it different than the way it was given to us?
So there was those two options again. Option one was truth. It said you can't make things different than they are. Option two said it's untruth. I believe everything, and it says we can go deeper into that thought. That is the way we continue to keep the illusion going.
Those are always our two options.
Yes. Thank you for saying that, making that clear. This is what we do all the time. So the way of mastery is saying we create our experiences. So some people say, I can create my experience and become rich or whatever the dream is, but that is saying very clearly that this is not what the teaching is about. The teaching that you create your own experience is a pathway in which you learn to transcend and to dissolve from your conscious perception and every thought which is out of alignment with the truth.
Right. Yeah. This is the way that we learn that we're the unchangeable, the changelessness, that this is who we really are, that we're not subject to, that we're not victims of the world we see, that we're not subject to the whims of the world or the whims of our coworkers, is by withdrawing the believing attention that we would give to the thoughts that say otherwise.
So you're creating the creation of your own experience, but experience is the illusion that covers up the truth. What we want to let go of is creating experience so that illusion can disappear and truth can be revealed.
Yeah, we want to give up our interpretation of experience. This is good, this is bad. Right? This is the experience. That's why we're willing to rest, accept, and trust and just be with the experience.
So we still believe that we can create a better experience for ourselves, and that's the error. The error is trying to create your own experience. Let it be what it is. When reality moves through us, we know joy. So even though we are creators, we create through judgment and decision in order to create an experience. And that's our free will, but we're just never going to know our highest joy that way. How am I doing time?
You've got like 3 minutes. You're doing great.
Thanks. We keep doing the same thing over and over again without noticing that we're doing it. For example, I wake up in the morning and I think I don't want to go to work. I'm supposed to be retired. But I go and I jump on another coworker and they react and I see it. I realize I brought this to the office. I realized that. And what most of us spiritual students will do at this point, we go in and we say, oh, I must be a poor spiritual student. I'm never going to get this. I failed again. So we do what we always do. We look at that thought about being a poor, separated spiritual student, and we decide that thought has value. And we go deeper into that process, but we just done it all over again. So whenever we're not in our peace and joy, we need to realize we've gone into a thought system that we don't need to participate in.
That we've made a judgment.
We've made a decision that is not consistent with reality. But the guilt I see that I feel is another choice to wake up. The guilt I feel is the opportunity to see I created the guilt. This is my creation. I'm the one who cast my attention on this idea that I'm a poor spiritual student. And now I'm having that experience. So
I decide I'm guilty. And then I experience the guilt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's how we're creating our world. That's what this chapter was named, of course. I'm creating this. I'm creating my experience. So we want to recognize, what we want to recognize is that it's my experience of guilt came because of my creative ability to cast attention through the thought of guilt. So if you can look at it that way, that's going to help you come back out of it quicker. If you can accept that you're a creator of it always, you can always unweave from it. And that's one of the reasons why the ground rule says there's no blaming. As soon as you start blaming the weather and Trump and you're giving up your opportunity to unweave yourself out of the illusion.
Yeah. Amen.
You must take responsibility for creating your own illusion, your own experience.
Yeah, and ego is going to tell you, no, Trump really is a jerk, or whoever, Pelosi's really a jerk. I mean, whichever side of that line you fall on, right? But that does not explain your experience. Right? I mean, the ego is going to try and justify it and go, no, that really is true.
Yeah. Right. So we can have these enlightened moments and know that we've created this experience. We've created our perception of the world we see.
Yeah. And ego is going to tell you it's important to recognize that Trump or Pelosi are jerks. Because that's going to keep you safe. We've got to make a better world for ourselves and for our children. I mean, ego is going to have great reasons to do that. What it's not going to want you to see is that you're assigning meaning. Trump's a jerk. Pelosi's a jerk. And then you're upset based on the meaning that you've assigned. And so ego's goal is just to keep you upset and out of the experience of neutrality, right? It's going to keep you believing those ideas. Going to keep feeding you ideas. Oh, we have 3 minutes, Connie.
Okay. Homework.
The homework. Assignment A. Course in Miracles workbook lessons 8 through. No, we just did that. Wrong. Don put it on the board for me. Let me find out where the real homework is. Course in Miracles workbook lessons. It says that everywhere I look.
15 through 21.
Thank you, dear. And don't know why I can't find it here. They all say that. Please read the rest.
No, lesson 20 asks us to repeat this lesson to ourselves twice per hour. Again, this is Course in Miracles lesson 20. Preferably read it on the half hour. One can set an alarm to remind oneself, but it is generally better if one remembers because of the desire to remember. We recommend ending each 30-minute practice with a heartfelt intention to remember it again in 30 minutes. Whenever you notice that you forgot, remind yourself how important this is to you and begin again in that moment. Do not beat yourself up for forgetting. And I added that little last part.
I feel thank like you for doing helpful. That.
And the last part is the second part of the assignment, homework assignment B. We want you to read NTI Ephesians, and that is pages 339 all the way through 347. Okay, that's it.
Yeah, and let me just say real quickly about the homework. Remember, read as much as you feel guided to read. Stop reading when you feel guided to stop. Don't try and read it all in one setting. One other thing, don't forget to keep your homework journals, okay? We talked at the beginning about how important it is and why it's important. Keep your journals, and please, please come post those on the forum. Guys, this is great. You've been great. We love you. See you next time.